ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय. दिस् इस् द सिक्स्थ कैंटो Chapter 14, entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation, and we will do today texts 11 and 12. 11 has no purport. I don't know which one is on the board. Okay, Rupaudarya? Okay. So I'll just chant the Sanskrit for text 11 and read the translation, and we'll move on.
Tasya bharya sahasranam sahasrani dashabhavan सन्तानिकश्चापि नृपो न लेभे तासु सन्ततिम्.
This Chitraketu had 10 million wives. Wow. That's enough said right there, isn't it? This Chitraketu had 10 million wives, but although he was capable of producing children, he did not receive a child from any of them. By chance, all the wives were barren. There's no purport. We'll move on to text 12.
Rupaudarya vaya janma vidya aishwarya shriya adibhi sampannasya गुणैः सर्वैः चिन्ता बन्ध्या पतेः अभूत् रूपौदार्यवयो जन्म विद्यैश्वर्यश्रियादिभिः सम्पन्नस्य गुणैः सर्वैः चिन्ता बन्ध्या पतेरभूत्. Rupaudarya vayo janma vidyaishwarya shriyadibhihi sampanyasya gunai sarvaihi chintabandhya patirabhut. Rupaudarya vayo janma vidyaishwarya shriyadibhihi सम्पन्नस्य गुणैः सर्वैः
Thank you.
Ladies. Rupa, with beauty. Odarya, magnanimity. Vaya, youth. Janma, aristocratic birth. Vidya, education. Aishwarya, opulence. Shriya, adibhihi, wealth, and so on. Sampannasya, endowed. Gunaihi, with good qualities. Sarvaihi, all. Chinta, anxiety. Bandhyapatehi, of Chitraketu, the husband of so many sterile wives. Abhut, there was. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Chitraketu, the husband of these millions of wives, was endowed with a beautiful form, magnanimity, and youth. He was born in a high family. He had a complete education, and he was wealthy and opulent. Nevertheless, in spite of being endowed with all these assets, he was full of anxiety because he did not have a son. Purport. It appears that the king first married one wife, but she could not bear a child. Then he married a second, a third, a fourth, and so on. But none of the wives could bear children. In spite of the material assets of Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri, birth in an aristocratic family with full opulence, wealth, education, and beauty, he was very much aggrieved because in spite of having so many wives, he had no son. Certainly his grief was natural. Grihastha life does not mean having a wife and no children. Chanakya Pandit says, putrihinam griham shunyam. If a family man has no son, his home is no better than a desert. The king was certainly most unhappy that he could not get a son, and this is why he had married so many times. Kshatriyas especially are allowed to marry more than one wife, and this king did so. Nonetheless, he had no issue. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Koroti Vachalam Pangum Langhayak De Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaraghunathanvitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabantho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This Chitraketu had 10 million wives, but although he was capable of producing children, he did not receive a child from any of them. By chance, all the wives were barren. Chitraketu, the husband of these millions of wives, was endowed with a beautiful form, magnanimity, and youth. He was born in a high family. He had complete education. And he was wealthy and opulent. Nevertheless, in spite of being endowed with all these assets, he was full of anxiety because he did not have a son. Yesterday we heard, Asid Raja Sarvabhauma, Shurasenesu Vainripa. This king happened to be the king of which place? Anyone remember? Shurasen. Where's that? Mathura. He was the king of Mathura. He was born, he was a Vrijavasi, we can say. Royal edition. King of Raj. Such a high birth he had. And the list is here. Rupa. He had beauty. Odarya. He had a magnanimous spirit. Vaya, he was youthful, in his prime, as we say. Good aristocratic birth, he was educated, he was intelligent. Now, Aishwarya and Shriadi, there's a distinction here that Srila Prabhupada makes in translating these two terms. Aishwarya means opulence, Shri means what? How can you have opulence without Shri, without Lakshmi? We tend to equate money, especially here in America, with opulence, but it's actually not so. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada reminds us, as we were hearing yesterday, this money really has no value, especially now more than ever. The real things that are valuable for a human being in life are that he has health, he has character, he has... Then in terms of material goods or tangibles, he has good agriculture and good grains, sufficient fruits, vegetables, sugar, milk, cows, land. These are the real sources of one's opulence. You cannot eat dollar bills. You cannot eat computer microchips. You cannot eat nuts and bolts. So we heard a little bit about this yesterday. We're going to hear more about the principles of good government once Angira Muni arrives on the scene. For now, we have 10 million wives. In the end of chapter 14, Krishna concluded to Arjuna. He said, anybody know what verse I'm thinking of? Number 26, offhand, anyone know this? Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati jaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. He says that one comes to the Brahman platform when, by dint of bhakti yoga, he transcends the influence of the modes of material nature. And then after a verse, the very last verse, describing what is that Brahman, what is the position of Brahman. This whole chapter 15, the next chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is actually meant to explain what does it mean to do this. So we're here, we're practicing bhakti yoga by the grace of Srila, by the divine grace of Krishna in the form of Srila Prabhupada, who has so painstakingly compiled 60 volumes of Vedic literatures for us, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other smritis. We're so fortunate that we have this opportunity, and we can take advantage of it every single day. Srila Prabhupada instructed us to sing this. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Kuriya Aikya. We've mentioned it. So, in chapter 15 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins to explain, first of all, what is this banyan tree of material existence? He compares it to a banyan tree. Banyan tree, as we know, sometimes even magnolia trees here in Los Angeles, you see, they get very big. There's a few of them that you see around town. But a banyan tree is super, super big. There's one in the Kolkata Botanical Garden. How many square miles is that? Anybody know? One tree. So when Krishna says the real form of this tree cannot be understood in this world, nobody knows where it begins, where it ends. That's the nature of a banyan tree. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, what is the name for this tree? Ashvatha. Ashvatha. And he says it means ashvaha. Shva means tomorrow. There's no tomorrow for this tree. Although it's so complicated, and you can't find out where it begins and where it ends, and you can't trace out the source, what's the root, what's the branch, what's what, you don't know. But you do know that it's, although it's avyayam, Krishna describes it, it's at the same time ashva. It has no, it won't last. The process of material entanglement is forever, if we like, since most of us do. But any manifestation within this material creation of the Lord, it can't last. So the mula is Lord Brahma, and expanding from this material nature, so many species of life, they're created. The branches that go up are the results of your pious activities. The branches that go down, they're results of your sinful activities, and correspondingly, you can take birth as a deva, you can take birth as a human being, as here we see where Chitraketu is situated in the grand scheme of things. And we can go down, we can become animals, everything from aardvarks to zebras, and we can go down below that also, into the insect and even germs we can take birth, if we insist. Saṃsāreṣu narādhamān, what does Krishna say? Kṣipāmi ajasvaram aśubham. If they want, I will put them in those places where they never see the light of day again. These are all the options. Parikṣya lokān karma cittān brāhmano nirvedam āyān nāstya krita kṛtena. Mundako, several Upanishads actually, they say that an intelligent person, a broad-minded person, a brāhmana, he looks through all the possibilities that life offers one, and he intelligently discriminates. There's nothing here that's not karma. It's the result of karma, either my own or someone else's. But it's karma plus karma equals karma. You don't get anything but karma here. Therefore, this amazingly intricate, complicated tree of material existence is just karma. So what is the use of adding karma to karma? At that point, the text goes on, if you want to know the absolute truth, then you have to approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvijnanartham evabhigachet. Samit pani shrotriyam brahmanishtham. So Krishna has described, I just wanted to say these verses because they're so nice. Urvamulam athashakam ashvattham prahuravyayam. They call this tree eternal, this ashvatha tree. It has its branches going up, and it has its roots going down. Chandansi yasya paranani, all the leaves, they are the Vedic hymns. The leaves of the tree of material existence are the Vedic hymns. What does that imply? Yastam Veda sa Vedavit. Someone who knows this, he will understand the Vedas. Because anything you want within this world of karma, it really only comes through sacrifice. And it comes especially through sacrifice that is ordained or sanctioned by the Vedas. There are different kinds of activities that one can perform. There's niyatam karma, that is obligatory activity. In order to qualify as a human being, you don't have to be biologically capable of reproducing with another such human being. In order to become qualified as a human being, you have to execute your niyatam karma. That is the defining feature of material of humanity. Dharmasya hina pashupisamana. Without that, you are an animal even if you're walking around on two legs instead of four. Atashtu urvam prasirtas tasishakha. Those branches, they also go down, as we've all seen. Banyan trees have these little leaders that go back into the ground, and that's what erases, as it were, the original root, such that you can't understand where it begins and ends. Guna pravrtha. It's nourished by the actions that are impelled by the modes of material nature. We are all pushed around by the big bully of Maya, and we're impelled to perform an activity in the mode of passion. Who's it? Wordsworth, I think he wrote. Strange fits of passion have I known, and I shall dare to tell. We're impelled by the mode of ignorance also, to do foolish, sightless things without any foresight as to the reaction, or to do nothing. Sometimes that's also there in tamoguna. You just cannot even lift your leg and do anything. It's so thick sometimes, the coverings. And then in mode of goodness, which is actually the most insidious of all these three modes, isn't it? Because in the mode of goodness, what happens? You've got it together, and you know it. They say pride precedeth the fall. So it's really the most insidious of all the modes. But all of these modes, they are pushing us to act. So they're nourishing the complicated mess that this material world is. They nourish it, these three modes, indirectly, through us. Now, therefore, he said, he continues, guna pravidha vishaya pravala, and the little sub twigs and the little blossoms, you can say, these are the objects of the senses that the gunas impel us to chase after or not, as the case may be. Adhashyamulani nasantatani karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. But in human society, all of these are bound to karma. Therefore, it's called ashvatha. Narupam asyeha tathopalabhyate nantona chadirna cha sampratishta. Nobody can understand where it begins, where it ends. Ashvatamenam suvirurhamulam asangashastrena dridhena chitva. With detachment, one should cut through, cut your way out. Don't try to figure it out. You will not be able to. Maya is very good at bewildering us forever and giving us endless theories that we think explain the material world until we discover a new aspect of its existence and we remain bewildered, chasing the dream. So this is where Chitraketu found himself in. He was, of course, he was very responsible, as all these adjectives describing his wonderful personal assets and good karmas they imply. He was able and he was very responsible in performing his niyatam karma, but having a child is kamya karma. It's two kinds of karmas. One you have to do and the other one you may or may not do as you choose. So kamya karma means that. And generally everybody wants to have a child. That's why we get married. Putrarthe kriyate bharya. It's said in the Smriti Shastras. One creates a bharya, a wife, putrarthe, for the sake of a son, in order to get a son. Bharya, what does bhara mean? Anybody know? Like we worship Lord Vishnu as Vishvam bhara. Bhara, bharati, what does it mean? To maintain, to hold something up, right? Bharya, therefore, means the one that you maintain. A husband has to maintain a wife. Now, why in the world would a husband maintain 10 million wives without getting a son? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in commenting on these verses, he sees it fit to remind us. It's not, what does he say? He says it's not for sex life, vishaya bhoga, not for even for subtle sense enjoyment, because after all, any association with the opposite sex, there's some subtle enjoyment there, even if it doesn't involve gross physical interaction. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it's not for this purpose, but santana, for the purpose of a child. So here the word is used also, santati. There is no santana. Although he was capable. So why is it that he had no son? Vishwanath Chakravarti and also Sridhar Swami, they quote here, daiva yogena milita iti bhava. What did they get through their through the agency of their karma? Vantyapati. He's called Vantyapati, the lord of so many barren wives. He got all these wives were barren, one after another. 10 million. What do you call this? Hope springs eternal. Like Jarasandha, isn't it? He never gave up. 17, 18 times he's attacking Krishna. Every time he's completely smashed and slaughtered and humiliated, still he keeps coming back. This is called Maya. So, the poor king. I mean, it's hard enough. We're looking at this banyan tree of material existence that entangles the individual soul on the psychophysical level. But then you multiply that and all these various aspects of the gunas that we've been describing already, multiply that by 10 million, and we don't even get to the part of his niyatam karma yet. He's got to deal with all the same stuff with all of his prajas as well. What a complicated life. What a difficult existence he's living. But he was capable. He was quite competent. And so therefore he had only one anxiety, chinta. I always think when I see this word chinta means anxiety. Once in Vrindavan on the wall, I saw it was written there. It said, chinta matkara, chintana kijiye. Only a Vrijavasi could understand. It means, do not be in anxiety. Instead, meditate on Krishna. But it's a play on the words chintan and chinta. Chintana means to meditate. So, anyway, so this was his anxiety, and we'll see how it develops in the coming verses. Next few verses are describing just as he was qualified, similarly all of his queens were qualified, but they were all barren. And there's only one minor acharya who comments on this as to what that bad karma was, what the daiva yogena was that caused all of these wives to be barren. But I'm not going to repeat that story because none of the Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas have seen fit to mention it. So, putrahinam griham shunyam, the house, household life without a son is not really very pleasing, nor is it very beneficial, because why does one want a son? That also is not necessarily only for sense gratification. Who can say, what's the purpose of having a son? If the purpose of maintaining a wife is to have a son, then what's the purpose of having a son? Pindodakam. When you die, somebody has to make sure that you're pulled out of hell, because any one of us can go there. We're looking at the complexity of material existence. We've been discussing some of the options that we're given, and we know the strength from first-hand experience of the pushings and the pullings of Maya through these gunas, these ropes they're called, just like we're worshipping Damodar this month with the ropes of his mother's love. But we're tied up by different ropes. And it's very difficult. At any moment, as Prabhupada says, there are accidents even on royal roads. At any minute, we can mess up in such a way that we land ourselves in prison or in the hospital missing a limb or two. Right? Don't ever forget that you're driving around in 4 tons of metal that's not really very easy to control. If the power steering or the power brakes go. So at any minute we can, it's very, very dangerous, but the package is so neatly designed by Maya that we don't even think about it. Just like we were hearing yesterday. You can create a society and convince everyone that they're actually in charge of that society by calling it a democracy, and you can control and exploit them and take them all to hell, to the extent that we don't even have real food to eat anymore, most of us, isn't it? What's this so-called organic stuff? Do you know? It's not real food even. It's still genetically modified. It's irradiated. You know, half of it. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that too much, but we know Prabhupada's solution for that problem, as we heard yesterday, Varnashram Dharma. Now, that's difficult because it's expensive. It costs money. That's the bottom line. It really does come down to dollars and cents. If you want to be dharmic in Kali Yuga, you've got to pay through the nose. Because the general trend, the stream, is that you're going to be pulled down with the flow. And the flow is degradation in this age. So, we have these wonderful examples of great pious kings with all of their assets we can follow in terms of the Niyatam Karma, but in terms of Kamya Karma, let's stick with devotional service. And whatever it takes to facilitate that devotional service. After all, as chapter 15 of the Bhagavad Gita describes, this is the real purpose of Krishna's instructions. Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. You will come to the Brahman platform, and on that platform you can actually engage in real devotional service. So we have a wonderful opportunity to do this now in this month. Today's a very auspicious day. Sharad Purnima, or as you will, the first day of Kartik. On this day in Vrindavan, generally they make sweet rice and they put it out on the roof. And it's said, some people say that the moon rays purify it and Lakshmi comes and takes it for her husband through the moon rays. Other people say in Vrindavan, they say that the gopis come and they take it and give it to Radha and Krishna because Radha and Krishna perform their Ras Lila pastimes on this night as well. So it's a very auspicious day, beginning of the month of Kartik, month of Damodar. We have the opportunity where anything you do in devotional service, it becomes magnified. So we can take advantage of that. I think that's about all I have to say about this. The only thing I can add here is that no matter how good or bad your karma is, it can always be better or worse. And he had everything going for him, but he was not happy. He couldn't be happy just because when the mind fixates on a particular desire, that's the way it is. Everything else becomes, it's like I was hearing from Srila Prabhupada. He said, if a person is hungry, he doesn't very much appreciate it if you garland him and put some chandan on the forehead. Just like, you know, let's say in a starving, you know, Somalia or some place like this, you airlift some, you know, thousands and millions of flower garlands and little packets of chandan and drop it down to the people. They'll be so insulted, isn't it? They'll hate America more than they already do. So this is the idea. We have our desires that are impelled by the bodily misconception of life. And if we have bad association, that becomes a nunam pramatta kurate vikarma situation where we won't hesitate to do any sinful deed to get what we feel we need or want. That's what a lot of the leaders of this modern civilization are doing. On the other hand, we have devotional service, and if we keep good association, they create in us, the great saints, we've put this back into the context here, they create the wonderful good fortune of taking to this path of devotional service where we can attain that which is actually avyayam, that which is really eternal, and takes us out of this hard struggle for material existence, sometimes going up, sometimes going down, always dealing with the temporary, inevitably being frustrated. It only works for Krishna, remember. Even though this Varnashram Dharma we often say is the key to social solidarity, as Krishna calls it in Bhagavad Gita, Loka Sangraha means social solidarity, harmony, peace, happiness. And Prabhupada describes the reign of great kings like Yudhishthira Maharaj, where there was no want, everybody was fully satisfied, but ultimately you can't be fully satisfied, and the proof is Chitraketu. That's why he's mentioned here, just to demonstrate to us what are the circumstances we can expect to find ourselves in someday. Maybe not this life, maybe not for 1,000 lifetimes. This one Acharya who's commenting on his bad karma from the past says it was from many, many thousands of years prior. We don't know when it's going to surface again, right? But bhakti yoga will fry the seeds of the aprarabdha karma, threefold, three kinds of unfructified karma. The process of bhakti yoga, it's like a chaunch when you're cooking. You throw the seeds in there and they just crackle and pop, and they're not going to fructify again after that. So bhakti can do this. Srodo ganastamaranam bhaja vasudevam. Therefore we worship Vasudeva. Anyway, so this is the real point. Muktanam abhisiddhanam. We discussed with regards to those verses a few days ago. The real saint or the really liberated person is very rare. And even amongst those really liberated persons, the one who's really a devotee, Narayana Parayana, that person is even more rare. And if we can get even 11th of a second association with that person, then all the complexity can be slashed for us. We can't do it ourselves. We can't even understand what's going on ourselves, Krishna says in chapter 15. But the key is nirmana. By the time he gets to verse 5 of chapter 15, that's the first word of the real key. The hint that he gives us as to how we get out. If we can become a little prideless, a little bit humble, and bow to a great saint, then by that person's grace, we can get out. And it seems that this is what happens in Chitraketu's case after having met Narad Muni, who was impressed. He gave him a very humble and hospitable reception. It seems that that impressed Narad Muni. And he gave him some mercy and taught him some lessons that he had to learn, as many times we all do. So I don't want to spoil the plot. We'll stop there. Anybody have any questions or comments on any of this? Yes, please. Probably a microphone will come in a minute. Vandhya. Vandhya means a barren woman. In Hindi, they call it bans. Just imagine the odds of that. You've got 10 million wives, and every single one of them just happens to be sterile. Or just happens to be barren. It's impossible. But this is how karma works. The impossible. You know, sometimes fact is stranger than fiction, we say. Sometimes karma just does really wild things to people. You can read stories about it. Your question?
I have two questions. Okay, just one. Вот Чота Харидас story, he was punished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of his subtle desires of subtle sense gratification or more.
Okay, you're asking, was Chota Haridas banished by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of
his subtle sense desires of subtle sense gratification, or he wants enjoy more that subtle?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to pass on this question because it's not related to the class. Maybe afterwards we can talk about it.
Okay, I have second one.
Wait. Okay.
People want to marry because of they want sex life or they want have children. But what another purpose if they married after 75 or after 50? What another purpose can be? If no sex, no children. What for? Especially devotee.
Why would a person get married without having children? Is that what you're saying?
Without desires to have sex or children, and especially devotee when they married after 40 or 75. Yeah. What for?
Yeah. Okay, that's a good question. One answer to that question comes from His Holiness Girirad Swami, who, after describing how the inevitable result of any association with the gunas in this material world is suffering, he said you have basically two choices in terms of your kamya karma. You can suffer alone, or you can suffer with someone else. I hope that answers your question. Archita Prabhu. Okay, anything else? Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.